Pastor John. I'm one of the pastors here at Valpo. I just want to welcome you. If you're here today for the first time or after your several time joining us, I want to welcome Wanatal, North Judson, Hebron, Westville, MPH. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We are coming out of a series entitled Storm Ready, right, which was an incredible series, and it's taking us right into the month of May. And what we're wanting to talk to at all of our campuses is a sermon series entitled Rooted, right? So how many of you guys know when you have storms come through, especially spring storms, can seem like the worst, and they can seem like the most damage can come during the spring storms is you can't go far during a spring storm driving down the roads, and you can see destruction happens. You can see fences down. You can see stuff blown all over the place. And even driving through a spring storm, or sometimes what I call an all of a sudden storm, because that's kind of what our spring storms kind of look like, is it can be beautiful all day long, and then out of nowhere, like the snap of a finger, we have 30 or 40 mile per hour winds that come. You can drive by and see trees completely uprooted and on the ground, right? So what I want to do real quick, and what our key text is this entire month, it comes out of the book of Jeremiah. And I want us to look at this real quick as we get ready to jump into this topic. And it's in Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. It says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit," right? And so we know that when a storm or something happens in life, especially when it can seem out of nowhere and all of a sudden, we know what it looks like when something becomes unrooted or a tree becomes unrooted. And just in case, to give us a little bit of a visual, in case it's tough to picture it in your, I'm a visual learner, so I like to see a little bit what I'm talking about or what I'm listening to. Here's just a few pictures of an uprooted tree. Like, there's a tree out of the front yard that completely got uprooted. And what's crazy to me, that's a pretty big tree, right? And you can tell based on the base, but what is still standing, if you look behind it, are trees that are much smaller in stature, right? So you can see a big tree uprooted. Go ahead and throw another one on. We have another tree right there, completely uprooted. Again, not a small tree, just completely pulled over. One more picture I decided to pull. That one's like the most interesting one. Didn't just uproot, pulled the entire lawn up with it, right? And one of the things that's interesting is it doesn't matter the stature of a tree, that if a storm is strong enough and the roots aren't deep enough, it can be pulled right up out of the ground, right? You can have trees of great stature get pulled up. And in the context of why we're here today and here at Heartland, regardless of where you're watching from, there are storms of life that can come through. And as they come through, you can see people all of a sudden in the midst of that storm get completely uprooted and thrown onto the ground. And it seems, and it doesn't matter stature. You can look at somebody or a person or in the world that we live in with social media and television and everything, and the way news is just thrown all over everywhere. You can look at somebody that you thought had the biggest stature, but yet a storm came and threw them right on the ground. And so what we want to do this entire month is talk about how do we, as Christ followers, let our roots grow deeper so that when the storm comes, not if, but when the storm comes, that we stay standing and that we stay strong. And then although others might go down around us, it will not shake us to our core and will not pull us out of the firm foundation that we're planted into, right? And as we do that, we've been trying to process as a team and through prayer, what exactly are some things that help us as Christ followers continue to allow and to let our roots grow deeper into our faith? What are some of the things that we can do that can help? And I look at it in the context of relationships. You start looking at relationships, whether new or old, you can base the success on that relationship on a topic and or on a principle. And one of those principles that I think that you can look at a good relationship or a relationship that's going through something would be communication, right? You can see, I don't know if you've ever experienced relational strife or troubles. A lot of times that can come down to how effective is the communication that you're in. And so what we're wanting to talk about today is our communication with God being something that can grow our roots down deeper. And that communication with God, that's the coined phrase, is that's prayer. What's our prayer life look like? And the condition and the status of our prayer life will be the status and condition and the depth of the roots that we have, right? And so, but with prayer life, if you're like me, sometimes our prayer life can be really strong and other times it can be really weak. Does anybody else struggle with that? That it's hard to keep our prayer life in a constant and in a consistent, right? So I started thinking as we're kind of diving into this a little bit, what are some things that cause us to struggle with our prayer life? What are some of those things? What are some of the situations that can cause it to fluctuate a little bit, right? And so just to be completely transparent with you, I started to look at this and I wanted to see in my own life, in my personal life, these are things that I've seen that have caused my prayer life to be inconsistent, all right? So maybe you can connect with some of the things that I've noticed in my life or some of the things I've noticed in others' lives as we've gone through ministry here at Heartland or in different avenues. Number one, I think one of the things that we can struggle with, and I know I have, is we're not sure that we know how to pray or how to pray effectively. And we'll ask questions, is this the right way to pray? I've heard other people pray, and the way I pray sounds nothing like Pastor Phil. The way I pray sounds nothing like Pastor Matt. It sounds nothing like my small group leader. It sounds nothing like this person that I have in my life that I consider to be a fantastic prayer and somebody that talks and hears from God. So is this even the right way? Or maybe you said, well, am I praying too long? Am I rambling? Am I even saying anything of value? Am I saying the same thing over and over and over and over again? Am I irritating God with my prayer? Am I praying too loud? Am I praying too quiet? Am I saying God enough? Did I close out right? I don't think I said amen last time, so I didn't even seal that prayer. And so I said a bunch of words that meant absolutely nothing. And we have this process where we start to think that our formula and knowing how to pray all of a sudden has some type of impact on the effectiveness of our prayer. And we don't know how to pray. And sometimes that can get in the way of our actual prayer life. I'll tell you right now, there's not one care in the world when there's a certain type of person that I hear pray. And I hear this group of people pray quite often. I hear it here at Heartland. I also hear it in my own house, and it's kids. Kids don't have one care in the world when they pray. They just talk, right? They just say whatever's on their mind, and you can hear a lot about the heart and understand what's going on when a kid prays. They don't think that they have to have the order all together. They don't have like a step one, two, and three. They don't have the closing nailed down. They just talk, right? And I can tell you that our kids, my personal kids, their morning and their evening prayers is something that, especially this last week as preparing it, it's something very unique and authentic about the way that they pray. And I'm just going to share with you real quick some of the things that I've observed about their prayers, especially this week, but then it takes me back, and this is a very consistent way about how they pray. My daughter, Lenny, she's 10 years old. She's very, very genuine about her prayers. She prays deeply from the heart. And here's the thing I've noticed about Lenny. Lenny very rarely prays for herself. She'll go through our family. She'll go through friends at school. She'll go through situations. But she prays from her heart. She'll pray for Sammy and Toby's boo-boos, even though she's probably never heard them pray for her. And she's very selfless. She's very selfless in her prayers, and it's to the point, like, even Lenny, when she prays, she's very thought out and intentional about the words that she puts together, right? So that's Lenny. Sammy, our middle child, he's 8 years old, and his prayers are very, very appreciative prayers. They're very thankful prayers, which sounds awesome on the surface, but his prayers are, God, thank you so much for making me so smart. Thank you so much that I love sports and that I'm good at sports. God, thank you so much that I'm a good-looking kid that has three girlfriends. That was his prayer this week. I'm not making it up. He came home on Thursday letting me and Kelsey know that he's got three girls that want him to be his boyfriend, and that he was super thankful that God made him attractive, funny, and smart, so he's every girl's dream guy, right? But, and I will tell you, one of the things me and Kelsey tell him all the time, and others can attest, he is a miracle. He's a miracle that he is smart, that he is athletic, that he's able to have the abilities, and that God is a working miracle, has worked a miracle in his life, and he doesn't forget to thank God. Thank you for working a miracle in my life. Now again, those are great prayers. They're appreciative prayers. He's thankful to God. We just got to work on the heart behind those prayers a little bit. Now, our youngest, Toby, he's 6 years old. His prayers are a little bit different. Toby, when he prays about everything. Every single thing that happened during the day. He'll talk about what he built with Legos. He'll talk about who won when he was playing video games with Sammy. Usually if he won, he'll let God know exactly who won the game and how it happened. He'll talk about things that happened at school. He lets God know about his field trip. He lets God know about who was nice to him, about who was mean to him. He'll talk about absolutely everything. He'll give God the complete play-by-play as if Jesus was sitting right in the room physically and he was talking to him, right? Very, 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 very different. All of them so unique, but not a single one of them wondering during their prayers if they're doing it right. So some of the things that I think that we struggle with, the more and more we grow, right? The more and more we try to effectively figure out how it is to communicate. Sometimes I think we make it way too complicated. And we worry so much about how we talk to God that it can simply keep us from talking to God at all. Another thing that I think gets in the way is I think that sometimes we get bored or distracted when we pray. Because I know that I do. I can get caught up in this quite a bit. I'll be praying, and then I'll think about something that I forgot to do sometimes. And then my mind goes to, how in the world am I going to get that done, especially if I have a deadline on it, right? I'll start thinking about that. Or I'll pray, and there'll be a key word in my prayer. And I'll be like, God, please help me with alignment in my life. Help me align things together. And then all of a sudden, the word alignment triggers something in my head and be like, God, why in the world can't I get my backswing aligned in my golf game? And then I'll start sitting there and I think I come way too much over the top, and that's why I do this. And then before you know it, I've thought 10 minutes about my golf game, and then I'm trying to figure out, well, I gotta get to the driving range as soon as I can. And I hijacked my prayer because I said a word that completely distracted me from it. And then if we're gonna be honest, sometimes we look at how distracted we can get in our prayer life, and that leads to frustration. And then we get frustrated with the fact that we struggle communicating with God, or that we're not placing enough importance on communicating with God, and we can't stay focused, and our frustration leads us to not even trying because we don't like frustrating ourselves, right? I know I don't. It can be an extremely frustrating thing. Another thing that I think that we can struggle with a little bit is number three, I think that sometimes we feel like our requests are insignificant to God. Because deep down, we know that God is all-powerful, God is all-knowing, and he has every single thing in the entire world to care about. So why would he care about the fact that I need help with this? Why worry about my illness when there's people that are having very, very real health concerns, and they're praying for another day on this earth or another month or another year? Why would he worry about my simple illness, right? Why would God worry about the difficulties I have at work or with my job right now when there are people praying for any kind of work? And we feel, why would I worry God with this? Why would I worry God with my relationships or my friendships when there's people that are going through a divorce right now? We're not there. So why would I worry God with this when there's people and there's things going on all over the world that seem so much worse than what I'm going through? And we get to the point that without knowing it, we place a quality on God that does not exist in reality. We place a quality and a characteristic on God that he only cares about things and not about us. So we just don't pray it. And then we get to the point, sometimes we struggle with this next one, is We're not even sure if our prayers will make a difference. Will me even verbalizing this make a difference in the grand scheme of things? Because God knows my situation. God knows my circumstances. He's here. He sees everything. So why does the fact that I have to verbalize it even make a difference? Or we'll think something along the lines of, well, I prayed this last time and it didn't quite work out the way that I thought, or it didn't work out at all. I haven't seen any traction. I prayed it twice. I prayed it three times. I prayed it 15 times. So I don't even want to waste time doing it. So I'm not even going to pray it. And right now, I want to suggest to you that if we're here in this room or you're watching online and we want to know, how do I get my roots to grow deeper? And if we're saying that we want to get our roots to grow deeper, that means that we're planted. We're in some type of soil that they're starting to grow, but how do I get them to grow deeper? I'm growing in stature. I'm growing in faith. But right now, I feel like every single minor inconvenience that comes my way, I'm almost falling over. So how in the world do I get to a deeper level when it comes to my foundation, when it comes to my roots growing deeper? And I think it's simple. I think it can be so simple, but yet it can be so difficult. I think it's prayer. I think the way that we allow our roots to continue to grow is through an effective prayer life. It's through communicating. It's through talking. You look at it in the concept of just about any relationship that we have, relationships grow by effective communication, and they die by ineffective communication. So here's the definition, because I like to go back to the basics a little bit when I go back to this concept of prayer, because we know that prayer is a foundation our faith. Communicating with God is a foundation to following God, right? And I look at this as going back to the fundamentals a little bit. Even the most elite at any, let's go back to sports for a second. I don't care what sport it is, basketball, baseball, golf, it can be track and field, it can be softball, it can be anything. If a professional athlete that is at the absolute peak, the top performance, if they start struggling, they don't just go back a little bit into their form, they go immediately all the way back to the fundamentals. They go back to the basics. Right? Baseball players. I'm a huge baseball fan. I love the Cubs. The Cubs just sent down one of their top prospects because he came up to the majors and he could not hit the ball for anything. Went back down to the majors and he was talking this week about what he has to do. He's going back down and he's starting back from square one at the same level that my boys were at 2 years ago with T-ball, and he's going back to hit off the tee. Because he's got to get his timing back together. He's got to get his swing path back together. And sometimes when we're struggling with something so fundamental as our prayer life, we've got to go completely back to the basics, right? So here is what communication is in its truest and most authentic form. It's to express thoughts, feelings, or information easily. To express it easily and effectively. Communication is to be joined or connected. Communication is to participate. It's to impart knowledge or to make something known. Now here's the funny thing about communication, right? Communication goes two ways. Communication is talking, but also communication is listening. And I'm going to be completely transparent with you. I struggle at that second part of communication, right? If I'm having a conversation or if I have something that I believe needs to be known and I want to impart knowledge onto somebody else, I do a real good job of getting my point across and then I turn around and I walk away and I don't wait for a response. Most of the time I do that when I know I am not going to like the response that comes my way. Right? So I'll share what's on my heart and I'll share what's on my mind, and then I turn around and I don't listen because sometimes I don't want to listen, right? So here's the key thought for this morning. In order to listen for God's voice, we need to know what God sounds like. In order to listen for his voice, we need to know what he sounds like. We can do a really good job at that with voices that we're familiar with. I know that we can. There's voices that if we were sitting in a room of 1,000 people and you heard certain voices, it would grab your attention and you would maybe start fanboying or fangirling them, right? I know that. There's some voices that we know that just piques our interest and we look, right? If you could, I want to play just a few voices, and what I want you to do is, if you hear them, we're not going to wait, I want you to shout out the name of the voice that I just said. Now, I'll just be completely honest with you right now. I've done this a few times the last week or so, because it's been on my mind, so we took this into our school program at Elevate, at a bunch of our schools, and we did this with middle school students, and I even did this with our students in our student ministry a few weeks ago, and unintentionally, I completely dated myself. Sitting in a room of middle schoolers and playing what I thought were the most recognizable voices on this face of the earth, and nobody knew what they were, completely dated myself. So please help me out with this. If you know it, yell loud so I don't feel older than what I tell myself I actually am, all right? So go ahead and play that first voice for me real quick.
I'm here to talk about success.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Thank you. You would not believe, I don't know if there are 5 middle schoolers in Northwest Indiana that know the voice of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's maybe one of the most depressing things I've ever experienced, right? But we know that voice. We know the sound of his voice. We know the dialect of his voice, the tone. We know it all. When we hear Arnold Schwarzenegger, we hear it, we know it. And if he was in this room, we would turn and we would try to find it, right? Go ahead, play another one for me.
I'm up here to say thank you to God for giving me this ability, for blessing
me. Thank you, Denzel Washington, right? We heard it, right? Maybe not as easy, but I will tell you that if I was given the option to have somebody narrate my life, it would probably be Denzel Washington, right? I love the tone of his voice. It'd be either Denzel or Morgan Freeman, to be honest with you, right? So that's it. All right, let's play one more. Now listen, hold on. This next one, you don't have to love it and you don't have to hate it, but it is definitely noticeable.
I have great respect for you. I have great respect for your tenacity.
All right.
And the fact that you just don't give up.
All right, so listen, another voice. We know it because of the laughters or the cheers. Again, you hear a voice, and all of a sudden, you know that voice. And with some of those voices, they elicit an emotion. They elicit a response. They definitely get our attention, right? We know it, and we hear it. And we kind of go towards it. Sound in itself is an extremely interesting thing to me, right? The whole concept of it. When you hear something, you can hear one thing, and it can be really, really nice to your ears. Like it's like attractive to your ears, right? Like there's sounds that you hear that you can love, right? There's also sounds that you can hear that you absolutely hate, that make you cringe. Right? There's certain things, the second you hear them, you know what it is, and you can either love it or you can hate it, right? It's extremely interesting. What's really interesting to me, too, is there are certain sounds that some people love, and that exact same sound brings the complete opposite emotion, and other people hate it, right? Like, I'll tell you, one sound that I absolutely love is the sound of my lawnmower going at 7 a.m. in the morning so I can get my yard work done. Kelsey, the kids, and my neighbors, they don't love that sound very much, right? So again, it doesn't even have to be a bad sound. It can be the context of the sound, right? So here's the thing. One thing that is very, very unique and very, very intriguing to me about sound is not just sound itself, the tone of sound. A million people can say the exact same thing. And in some environments, they can say the exact same thing at the same time, but when you hear the tone of somebody's voice, you know who it is. And an example of this would be if you're at a school function or you're at an event and there's a lot of people there, right? I think about it, if I were to go to a basketball game or I would go to the fair or I would go to a conference or something like that with my kids and there's a lot of kids there, two of the most common words, the most popular words said there are what? Mom and dad. You hear it everywhere. But when I hear mom or dad, and I know the tone of the voice that is saying mom and dad, I know who it's directed to. Because I know their voice. Because I know who's saying it. And I know that I know the phrase, but I also know the tone. I know it's directed to me for my attention. And I know that because we communicate and because I hear it all the time, because I talk to them and they talk back to me. Here's what the Bible says about communicating with God. It's in Psalm chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. It says, O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help. My King and my God, for I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning. Lord, each morning I bring my request to you and I wait expectantly. And I wait for your voice. And I'll be honest, this is not how I grew up praying. My prayers growing up were very formulated. They were very scripted. And they were very, very one-sided. I didn't wait in expectation when I prayed to God. I would say what was on my mind. I would let him know what was going on. I would let him know what I wanted. And I would stop. And I'll tell you right now, if I communicated like that with Kelsey, there would be multiple instances where I would probably fall down the stairs and let everybody know that it was just me being clumsy, right? Like, I know in the most important relationships that I have in my life, people relationships, if my communication was one-sided like that, I would not have very many relationships in my life. But yet, when I communicated to God and how I would communicate with God, it would be very, very one-sided. So here's what I have as we get ready to kind of steer this towards conclusion. How do I communicate with God then? If I know what can keep me from praying and what can cause me to struggle with prayer, how then do I pray? The first thing I have for you is when praying, I think that we need to learn how to pray continually. We need to communicate with God continually. And I believe that this thought right here can completely revolutionize our prayer lives because I know that it has mine. And it comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. It says, be joyful always and pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The number one most powerful thing that's ever happened to my prayer life is learning how to pray constantly. Through everything, about everything. Because here's what I learned. I can't do long prayers. I can't do it. I can't carve aside time, 10 minutes. Now listen, I can practically do it. I can put it down on paper and say, I'm going to wake up and pray for 15 minutes. And I can say that I'm going to take time out of my lunch break and pray for 10 minutes. I can say before I go to bed at night, in a perfect world, I'm going to want to pray. I can say the words and say that I intend on doing it. But I know this about myself. I don't do it well. So what I had to learn how to do is to pray continually. And what that means is in 30 or 45 second stints, no matter what I'm doing, I needed to learn how to pray about it. So like, for instance, when I wake up in the morning, one of the first things that I do is I needed to learn how to pray and just thank God for the day that was coming. Need to thank God for waking me up. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the things that are going on that are blessings. Thank you for the kids. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes in the morning, it's just a lot quicker than 30 seconds. It's thank you, God, right? And I say that even though there's really no thanks in my heart right when I wake up in the morning, all right? Because I'm not a morning person by nature, right? Or it's even getting into my routine. Right, I'll start my morning routine. I'll like shower, getting everything done, and my prayer will be, God, please give me the patience to hear everything that Kelsey has to say to me this morning. Act like I care, and act like I understand, and act like I remember. Right, because my mind cranks up slow in the morning, and hers is already 60 miles an hour down the highway. Right? She's got the day planned out. She's got the week planned out. She knows all the important things in the month. And she's, John, how are we going to get this done? Who's picking up who here? Who's doing this? It's like, I don't know. It'll figure itself out. She's like, no, I figure it out and I tell you what's going on. And I say, well, God, please help me. Help me be what Kelsey needs in this moment, right? I pray before I walk into work in the morning. God, give me a good mind, give me a good heart towards every situation that comes. Like, this is what it is. I'll pray before an interaction. I'll pray before a confrontation. I'll pray before an argument. I'll pray after an argument. I pray during these things. I pray during a meal. I've had to frame myself. I had to get myself to the point where I pray continually, because when I pray continually, here's what's happened. I've noticed I pray about just about everything. That by the end of the day, I haven't forgotten about the important things in my life that I've needed to pray for. And they're quick, but they're continual. Just like the valuable relationships, the key relationships that you have in your life, you communicate with them all throughout the day, especially with modern technology, text messages, phone calls, right? Emails. We know how important continual communication is during the entire day, because I know how my emails look at the beginning of the day, and I know how I type them at the end of the day. They're short, and I leave stuff out. Praying continually is key. And by learning about praying continually, I've learned that I rarely forget about everything. And when I have something I need God to help with, He hears it. He hears it. But what about when we're praying for something and it hasn't happened yet? What about when we've been continually praying about one thing and it's been days, it's been months, it's been an extended period of time and we haven't heard anything yet? Here's what somebody told me in life concerning about praying about something that we need done in our lives, and it's simply called push, P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. Continue to pray until you see something happens in your life. Continually pray. Don't give up until you see traction in it. The unfortunate thing is sometimes the traction we see isn't the traction we want, but continually pray. So we pray continually, and two, we pray with gut-level honesty. We pray with full transparency, completely. And here's me being completely honest with you. Being honest is not easy. It's very difficult, especially when it comes to our prayers, because when we're praying honest prayers to God, we're letting God know about the things that we messed up with. We're letting God know about our faults. We're letting God know about the side of interactions we had with people that went sideways, and being fully transparent with God, we're letting Him know what our part in that was. And God, help me correct it. Full transparency and gut-level honesty with God is being so honest that it hurts when we say it, because we also hear it when we have to admit to it. It's trusting God with every aspect of what we're going through, even if it makes us look like we're not perfect in that situation. Gut-level honesty when talking to God is also a form of letting God know that we're not happy with Him. It's letting God know that we're frustrated about those prayers that we've been praying. Gut-level honesty with God is letting Him know that we're struggling with our beliefs sometimes. Gut-level honesty with God is letting Him know how angry and frustrated and upset we are that you say that you're here, but it does not seem like it. That's being completely and utterly transparent with God. And there's multiple times when we read our word, we can see that some of the key figures in this book, they were honest with God to a point where we read it and it's almost like, well, God, why in the world did you choose this person? Look how they're talking to you. But it's there for us, and we can see it. One example of this is in the book of Exodus, and it's with Moses, and it's in chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, and it's in your notes. It says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? God, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are they struggling? Why do they have these obstacles in front of them? I thought you were delivering them. God, I thought things were going to get better. Is this why you sent me so they could struggle? Is this why you pulled me out of what I knew so I could see your people go through what they're going through? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, God, he has brought trouble upon this people. Things have got worse since I did what you told me to do. This is Moses. He says, you have not rescued your people at all. You can hear transparency and honesty in what Moses is saying to God, in his prayer, in his communication to God. You can see his hurt when he's talking to God. You can see his confusion when he's talking to God. And you can see his authenticity when he's talking to God. Jesus himself, when he's talking to people, when he's talking to his disciples and those that were listening to him, what does it look like to pray? He goes and he says, well, let me tell you what it doesn't look like to pray first. And he gives them two things on how they should not pray. And none of those were, you should be kind, you shouldn't be frustrated, don't let him know you're doubting him, don't let him know that you're hurt, don't let him, no, this is what he says. He says this, he says, don't be loud, and he says, and don't be too lengthy. He says this, Matthew 6, 5 through 7, here's what he says. He says, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the streets to be seen and heard by men. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans do, for they think they will be heard because of all of their words. Our prayers don't have to be crazy long. They don't have to be perfect. They don't have to be articulated so when everybody hears them, they focus on how good you are at speaking. Here's what he says. They need to be authentic. And they need to be personal. So we pray continually. We pray with gut-level honesty. And here's the third thing. We pray about everything. We pray about everything. Philippians chapter 4 and 6 says this. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and by petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Everything. Big, everything small, what seems pointless to God, what seems, in some circumstances, we think are too big for God, because we've all been there, I think, at some point. We think everything else is working against our favor, and we think, well, there's no way God is going to work on this person, this person, this person. He says, pray about everything. I remember a time when it seemed like my family was going through its worst, and it was when I was a teenager. I was 17 or 18 years old, and I remember when my mom and dad were going through a divorce. So I was 17 or 18. My sister, Hallie, would have been then, just quick math, like 12 or 13. My brother, Thomas, was 8 or 9. And I remember, it was a tough, ugly time. It was not an amicable divorce that we were going through. And quite honestly, at 17 or 18 years old, I didn't make the situation any better in retrospect because I had a way with my mouth back then a little bit. But I remember what we were going through. And here's the thing. I saw what my mom was going through. I saw the hurt. I saw a 20-year marriage completely get thrown out the window. 20 years, I'm pretty sure. I won't fact check it right now. She's here. She might give me eyes. Good thing I can't see her. But I think that that relationship was long. She spent more time in that relationship in her life than out of it at that point, right? So the majority of her life completely cast aside. I saw the hurt. I saw the pain. I saw the tears. I saw the navigating. I saw all the confusion. I saw the trying to navigate finances. I saw the work. I saw the trying to raise an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old, trying to manage their pain and their hurt and their emotions. I saw all of this going on. And I remember that it would have been, I think, the beginning of my senior year. I was going through something with a friend that I had, right? It was a relationship, a friendship that I had. I remember going through it, and I remember it wasn't clean, it wasn't good, it was hurtful to me, it was painful, it was a friend I'd had for years, and I didn't share it with my mom. Right? She had enough going on, and I kept it to myself. I navigated on my own, but she heard it from somebody else. And I remember she heard it from somebody else, and she came to me, and she goes, John, what's going on with this situation? Why didn't you tell me? And I told her, I was like, Mom, you're going through so much right now. That's the last thing that you need to worry about. It's the last thing that needs to go on with everything that you're navigating. I'll never forget the words that she said, and it was quick, but it was sharp. Right? I don't know if you know when people say things and it's like, it's just quick and it cuts right to you. She told me, she goes, John, if it matters to you, it matters to me. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I'll never forget that. Because what I was going through was so insignificant at that time. It was teenage stuff. She was going through life stuff and I was going through teenage stuff. If it matters to me, it mattered to her. And get this. This is what God is saying to us in this room. We need to talk to him about everything, because if it matters to us, it matters to him, because he cares about you. He cares about you personally. He cares about your highs and he cares about your lows. He cares about the things that you're navigating that you had no idea how you got there. Even if it was self-inflicted, he cares about it. God wants you to know he cares at a deeply personal level. 1 Peter 5 and 7 puts it this way. He says, cast your anxiety on him because he cares about you. So we pray with gut level honesty. And the fourth thing, we listen for his response. We pause, we wait, and we listen. And here's the hard part. In order to listen for his voice, we have to know what we're listening for. Melvin, you can go ahead and make your way up for me. Have you ever heard your name, your specific name, your God-given name in a crowd and been in this situation? You hear your name, you turn around, you look, and you're already in the waving motion as you turn around, and it was not somebody that you know and they weren't talking to you. Has that ever happened to you before? Like, that happens, right? And is it just me, or is it one of the most embarrassing things you ever happened to you in your life? And you're at a crossroads and you can decide, I'm gonna flip this and I'm gonna act like I know this person and they forgot who I was and I'm gonna make them feel awkward, or I'm gonna drop my head and I'm gonna walk the other way and make sure that my face is never seen in this setting ever again, right? Like, you have a flip. Like, it's awkward. But On the other side of that, have you ever been in a crowd and somebody that you know the tone of their voice speaks and you know exactly who it is, and then you hear your name from their voice and you know it's directed to you? Have you been there before? Like, we all have those voices, don't we? Like, I know I have those voices. For instance, I know Kelsey's voice, right? Me and Kelsey, we've been married for over 12 years, going on 13 years. We've been in a relationship for 13, going on 14 years. I hear her voice all the time. She loves to talk. I love the sound of her voice. I love when she talks. It's a positive thing that she loves to talk, right? But I know her voice. So if we're in a crowded room with a lot of commotion, and not only that I hear her voice, when I hear her say my name, I know it's her voice coming from that source and it's directed at me, and she's trying to get my attention and I can turn to her. I also know the tone of her voice. I know the tone of Kelsey, my wife's voice. I also know that if I hear my name in a certain tone, I can decide whether or not to act like I've heard it and I can walk somewhere else. I know it. I know her voice at a deeply intimate level to where I can hear not just the words and not just her voice, but the tone of it. I've got more voices like that. Pastor Matt, I've known Matt now. We just had our 20-year friendiversary, right? It's a big deal, right? Our friendiversary happened. I've known and I've learned Matt's voice for over 20 years. It's an important voice in my life, right? He'll let me know what I'm doing right. He'll definitely let me know what I'm doing wrong. I hear his voice. When Matt walks into a room, it's hard to find a louder voice than his, right? I know that voice. When it's spoken, my antenna goes up. I hear it, and when he says my name, it gets my attention, and I turn to it. Another voice is Pastor Phil. I've known Pastor Phil since he was my pastor, and he's still my pastor, but then he became my boss. I've known his voice for over 23 years now. I hear his voice, and it gets my attention, right? Not only do I know his voice, not only do I know the tone of his voice, I know the sound of his office door opening three hallways away between fire doors, right? I hear his office door open, very, very unique sound. I hear his voice, which gets my attention. I can tell which direction his voice is going. And if he walks out of his office after I hear the door and he turns left and I still hear his voice, I know what direction he's walking. I know he's walking towards me, and I know I've got to act busy in that moment. I better get to work, right? I know his voice. I know the tone. I know the tenor, because I'm around it and I listen to it and I've learned it. And the reality is, we all live our lives in an insanely crowded room. There's commotion going on all around all of us. People talking to us constantly. People talking around us. Maybe not directly talking to us, but we hear everything else that's going on. Not just from the people that we interact with. We hear people talking around us when we turn the radio on, when we turn the TV on, when we're on social media. We hear everything going on around us. We hear people talking about us. Not all good. And we have commotion everywhere. So much going on all over the place with our friends, with our families, with work, for school, at school for some of us, with sports, with clubs, at church, with ministries you're in, with security, with Royal Rangers, with missionettes, with youth ministry, with kids ministry, with prison ministry. There's commotion going on all around us. Everyone telling us what we should think, what we should value, who we should value, how to live our lives. And there are moments when Jesus speaks directly to us, right at us, intended for us. And the question is not, are we listening? The question is, would we even recognize his voice if he spoke? If he spoke directly to us, are we in enough communication? Are we in enough prayer? Are we in enough of a relationship with him that when he speaks directly to us, do we recognize his voice amidst the crowd? John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16, Jesus says this, and he starts it off in one of the most significant ways when you're reading the Bible, that when he starts anything off like this, it should get our attention. It should draw us in to focus on what in the world is Jesus saying and why is he saying it. And he says, I am. If we ever question the character and the heart of God, look at when he says, I am. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I know my Father as my Father knows me. I give my life for my sheep. It's a character statement right there. I have other sheep which are not from the sheep pen, but I must bring them also. That's a heart statement right there. They will listen to my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock with one shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Not a regular shepherd, not an ordinary shepherd, not a bad shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd that cares, the shepherd that protects, the shepherd that chases, that searches, the shepherd that brings back, the shepherd that talks, that directs. He is the good shepherd. And this helps us understand the tone of his voice when he speaks. Here's the thing that we need to remember, though. We're not going to get a response to something that we haven't been in communication about. How does God speak? Some of us, we expect it to be a loud, booming voice. It might happen that way, but not always. An audible voice of God. But God doesn't operate all the time in the way that we expect. In Elijah, in the book of 1 Kings, Elijah, they talk about a mighty wind that tore through the mountains and shattered the rocks. A big sign that was going on that some might say, oh, this must be God, but Elijah knew God's not there. And then after that, there's a huge earthquake that happens that was shaking the very foundation that he was standing on. And Elijah knows, but God's voice was not in that earthquake. And then after the earthquake, there was a huge fire that was going on, a blazing fire. And Elijah knew, but God's not in this fire. As Elijah's sitting there asking God to speak to him, all of this happens, but yet somehow he knows that it's not God. It's not the voice of God. It's God's not speaking to him through this. But God did reveal himself, though. And it's in verse 12 of chapter 19. It says, and after the fire came, there's a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face. And he went out, and he stood at the mouth of the cave. And Elijah knew it was the voice of God because he knew the tone. He knew through prayer. He'd heard the voice. He understood the voice. He was in relationship with God. He'd been in constant communication. God might speak to you with a gentle whisper. God might speak to you in a prayer. You might open up a verse in the Bible, and God might speak directly to you through that verse in the Bible. He might speak to you through a message that you hear on a Sunday, or on a Thursday, or on a Wednesday, or at a conference that you're at, or a gathering that you're at. He might speak to you through that. God might speak to you through another person. And I know I've shared it with you before. God has spoken to me directly through other people. One of the moments that I know I heard the voice of God was without a doubt through him speaking to a person that was in my life, and she's here with us today. God spoke to me through a friend, a dear friend of me and Kelsey, at a time that I thought life was going in an absolutely the most destructive destination I was. God spoke to me through the words of somebody that he had put in my life, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt that when she said those words, it was the calming effect of God using her to speak to me. God can speak to us in so many different ways. He can speak to you through the Spirit, and you'll hear it. And if you're listening and you know his tone and you know his heart and you know his character, there will be no doubt that he is talking directly to you. There's some of us, though, we're here right now and we're waiting to hear to God. But the first thing that we need to do is we need to start communicating to him. We need to start talking to him. He's ready to start communicating with you. And others of us, we're in this room, and we're talking, and we need to start listening. So again, how do we live our lives when the wind is blowing and those all of a sudden storms come out of nowhere? And they catch us by surprise because the last year of our life has been incredible and nothing can go wrong, and then something goes wrong. The last 3 months have been absolutely picture perfect, and then we get a phone call or we get news and our entire lives are turned upside down. How do we know when that storm comes that others might fall, but our faith in who Jesus is, the roots are so deep that we won't? We grow our relationship with him simply by communicating. So how do we do that as we all stand? You can stand. We're going to get ready to pray. How do we do that? How do we let the roots grow deeper? I think there's just three things that we need to do. The first one is actually just simply believing the fact that he cares about you personally. Believe that there is a very real God that cares about you individually as a person and cares about every single aspect of your life. We have to believe it. And we got to accept it. That the creator of the universe cares about my every day, cares about my morning, cares about my friendships, cares about my relationships, cares about my jobs, cares about my kids. That we have a very real God that does. Second thing that I think that we can do to grow deeper is start talking to him. Just simply start. If you do it, that's great. Start doing it continually. If you're doing it continually, keep it up. But if you're like me and you pray continually, the third thing is I think we need to start listening readily. Be ready to listen. And we do that by learning his voice and continue to learn it. And then when we start learning his voice, we start learning the tone of his voice. We start learning the character of him through his voice and through his word and how he speaks. We start learning it. I think there might even be some of us in this room that we don't just, maybe you learned his voice. I think there might be some of us in this room, we need to relearn his voice. Because we know that there was a time in our lives where his voice was very, very consistent. And we were around it. And we heard it. And we knew it. but his voice has grown faint in our life. We're not as close to it anymore. We haven't heard it in a while, and we're struggling to remember what it sounds like. Like I'll tell you, I'll share it with you real quick. There's something, my dad passed away back in July, and I remember when he passed away, right? It was an all of a sudden moment, right? It was like that. And I remember when he passed away, immediately after he passed away, I remembered his voice. I could still hear his voice, right? Like we took in his dog, and she was an older dog, and we took her in, and she had a very, very unique personality because he raised her, and every dog he raised was just, I could tell he raised her, right? But she was very old. I remember she would do some of the most ridiculous things, and she would do something and be like, oh man, my dad would think that would be funny, and it's like I could hear his laugh in my head, like when it was really early, right? I remember that we had things that go on, and I would just like those statements, man, I wonder what my dad would say right now, and I could still hear the tone of his voice when it was fresh, right? But the longer it went that I hadn't heard the sound of his voice and the tone of his voice, the more I started to lose what he truly sounded like. I would almost put my own thoughts into what he would say a little bit. Now, I can hear my brother talk a little bit and hear a little bit of my dad. I can hear the way he laughs and the way that I laugh a little bit, and I can hear a resemblance of my dad, but it's been so long since I've heard his voice. And then I remembered that I had a voicemail in my phone that he'd sent earlier in the summer, and it was just a very, very basic. It was one of his just normal voicemails. Hey, John, how's it going? Just calling to see how you're doing. How are the kids doing? Just want to let you know I'm thinking about you. We'll have to get together soon. Let the kids know I love them. Bye. It's simple. Nothing profound. But I went back and I listened to it, and in a second, I remembered his voice. And in a second, it came back to me what he sounded like, his true voice. And there might be some of us in this room, you communicate with God. A lot of us in this room probably communicate with God. There might even be a lot of us in this room that we know the voice of God, but we need to learn it. We need to learn it better. There's others, we knew it so well, as if it was around us every single day. But we need to get to a point where we relearn it. We make it a part of our everyday life so we know we don't live a single day without hearing from the one that truly cares about us, unlike any person, any human on this earth ever could. So we need to accept that he cares about us. We need to communicate him, and we need to learn his voice. And we need to wait to hear him speak. So here's how I want to close. The worship team is going to play this song for just a moment. And I want us to communicate with God just for a minute. We'll start with a minute, because a minute's better than nothing. Talk to him. Let him know about the things that are going on right now in your life that maybe you thought are insignificant, you didn't want to worry him about. Let him know about the things in your life that maybe you thought are too big, and there's no way God can move. Talk to him for a minute without getting distracted. And then after we do that, we're just simply going to wait, and we're going to listen. Let's pray. Go ahead and play, worship team. Father God, hear us. God, speak to us.
When it comes to your voice, I'm learning to listen, just to rest in your nearness. I'm starting to notice you are speaking. I'm not in a hurry when it comes to your spirit.
Father God, hear their prayers.
Thank you for listening to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. If you would like to partner with us and give, please go to hcc.ag and click to give tab. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. Also, if you have a prayer request or want to contact Heartland, please email us at pastorphil@hcc3d.com. Have a blessed week.